Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Chris and Dave. You were just hearing Chris giggling because we just listened to the lovely Linda, Paul's song about his beautiful wife, Linda McCartney, on his first solo album in 1970, McCartney. And that's going to be the subject of today. We're going to talk about Paul McCartney's lovely ladies. And there's a reason for this, right, Chris?
That's right. Paul just got married.
He just got married.
On October 9, 2011.
And there was something kind of interesting about that date, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was the anniversary of getting married.
And it was John Lennon's 71st birthday as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it?
It was.
Maybe it wasn't, but it was the anniversary of getting married. I don't know.
They did get married at the same place that he and Linda got married.
Oh, yeah. At old, what is that, Marylebone
Town Hall? Marylebone, yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So,
I had a dog I used to call Marylebone. No. I'm making that up. we're gonna talk about Paul's relationships over the years. And play some songs. You know, Paul's written a lot of songs about these women. I'm sure there's plenty of Nancy Shevel songs coming.
Yes, his new bride, Nancy, is it Shevel or Chevelle? Or...
Chevelle, Shevel.
Well, all the Beatle fans are hoping that it works out a little better this time. Paul McCartney's second wife didn't work out so well, so we're going to talk about her a little bit. Right. And hopefully Nancy and Paul will have lots of success.
You know, even I didn't know this before today. But Paul's first serious girlfriend was not Jane Asher, as I had thought.
Now we're going back to Liverpool days here. Pre-Beatles?
Yeah, back to 1959.
Oh, pre-Beatles.
So I guess it was
Quarrymen, I guess.
Quarrymen, Beatles.
Yeah.
Silver Beatles.
Silver Beatles, maybe, yeah.
And he dated a woman named Dorothy Roan, a.k.a. Dot Roan.
Ooh.
It was his first serious girlfriend. Apparently, they dated for like 3 years. Her hair was styled like Brigitte Bardot's.
Mm-hmm. As were many
girls. They when he was in Hamburg, he was writing to her on a regular basis, which allegedly inspired the song "P.S. I Love You."
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Oh. She went with Cynthia once to Hamburg to visit them in 1962.
Hmm.
So they had a 3-year relationship. They were due to marry. Didn't get married.
I didn't realize she was so serious. You never hear about her.
Yeah. You don't hear much about old Dot Roan.
Old Dot Roan.
And if you look up Dot Roan on the internet, you'll see some pictures. And as I called her, you said, was she pretty? And I said, she's English cute.
Yes. So Dot Roan was number one. And then I guess right after he broke up with Dot Roan, he met Jane Asher, and they lasted through most of the Beatles. From, according to my records here, they met in early 1963, so right after Dot Roan, and they got engaged in 1967, but Paul broke it off, and they officially split in 1968. So you think that she was out of the picture a lot sooner, but she actually was around for quite a while.
Yeah, I didn't know they had kept it up that long. I knew that she had met him in 63, I guess.
And yeah.
She is an actress and actually is in the British film Alfie.
Yeah, she's an actress, and her brother, Peter Asher, was a singer in Peter and Gordon, who sang A World Without Love, which is a McCartney song.
And really?
He also became one of the Apple, I think he was the A&R guy for Apple, so he was pretty involved with Apple as well.
So as Paul and Jane Asher got together so tremendously deeply they fell in love. Paul, being a songwriter, would have started writing songs about her. Perhaps All My Lovin'.
Perhaps.
Perhaps the next song we're going to play, a little tune called And I Love Her.
I give her all my love, that's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love her too. I love her. She gives me everything and tenderly. The kiss my lover brings, she brings to me, and I love her. A love like ours could never die.
As long as... And I Love Her, written for Jane Asher. And great, great song from the movie Hard Day's Night. You can see them performing it. Well, they're lip-syncing, but they look like they're performing it in the movie. And you get George's Spanish guitar, and that's a beautiful song.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful song. Then I guess, you know, as a lot of relationships, you start to have rocky times.
Right? Really?
You start to have troubles. Allegedly, the song We Can Work It Out was written about that relationship. Like, come on, let's keep at this. We can, you know, life's short. There's no time for this fighting.
Which, you know, isn't that kind of funny? Because didn't John write that part of the song? You know, what? There's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. So
that's right.
Maybe Jane and Paul were fussing and fighting.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. And then, you know, it's... you know, and then love starts to die.
Yeah.
At some point. And
it happens. And even... He really got back at her, though. This is a song from Rubber Soul,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I really didn't realize, as you said, I didn't realize they were together that long, so I didn't realize that songs after this one were actually written for her, too, that we're going to play after this. But the song I'm Looking Through You from Rubber Soul was kind of a... How do you describe that song?
I'd say... A little bit visceral.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Pointed. Pointed might be the good word.
Mm-hmm. Just a lot, like, I don't know if somebody was cheating on somebody or if there was a deception going on or what, but Paul, the lyrics, I'm looking through you, where have you gone? Those kinds of things that he's not seeing the same person he thought he knew.
Yeah, one of Paul's most negative songs, you
yeah,
could
say. Yeah, and there aren't many, so...
Yeah.
That's
true.
So, what do you say we listen to a little of I'm Looking Through You?
Okay, sounds good.
I'm looking through you. Where did you go? I thought I knew you. What did I know?
Looking Through You from Rubber Soul, kind of a kiss-off to Jane Asher.
Yeah, even though they were still apparently together
for a few more years.
And then in the next Beatles album, Revolver, there's a song. Also, shading signs that maybe things were not working out.
Yeah, that's
The working title of this song was called "Why Did It Die?"
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which I did not know.
Why did it die, huh?
Why? The signs of working titles, why did it die?
It sounds like if they were together until 1968, more or less, and they got engaged in 67, then things must have gotten really good after these two albums here.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, man, everything's going to crap. And they're like, ah, screw it. Hey, everything's great.
Yeah. Let's get married.
And then, nope. I can't take this Maharishi stuff.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe James.
Maybe that's it. Maharishi broke him up. I'm sure of it.
It's always the Maharishi.
Yeah, it is. The song originally titled "Why Did It Die?" from Revolver. It's a little song called "For No One."
Your day breaks, your mind aches. You find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up, she makes up, she takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you, and in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You want her, you need her, and yet you don't believe.
So that was it for old Jane.
Yeah, because then Jane kicked around, as we said, kicked around for another couple of years, but I think the story goes there was a woman named Francie Schwartz. And she wrote a tell-all book about her affair with Paul. And so that's what happened with Jane, is that Paul had a bit too much of a wandering eye. So other girls got in the picture, and Jane got sick of it. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank God they didn't get married.
Yes, would have been much different.
What would Wings have been like with Jane Asher playing keyboard? We don't know. But we do know what Wings was like with American photographer Linda Eastman
on
keyboard. Paul's first marriage that actually happened was in 1969, as we all know, the famous footage. Him destroying women's hearts.
All the girls crying.
And getting married to Linda. Linda had been kind of on the scene. You know, she was a pretty successful photographer. Had taken photos of, you know, the likes of Jimi Hendrix and, you know, the Rolling Stones. And so she was kind of on the scene, and they met, and they started quickly. They quickly got married.
Yeah. They first met at a party for Sergeant Pepper.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it was at Brian Epstein's house. And Linda was there taking pictures. And she met Paul, and there's a famous picture of them together. Linda is sitting, Paul's in a chair, and Linda's on the floor kind of looking at him. And they're talking. And that's the famous picture that when they first met. And I think what I recall from Wingspan is that which I know you're an avid, yeah, but Chris is making the Wings sign now.
Yeah, that's right.
They dated a little bit, but didn't really do much, and then met each other again a little bit later, and that's when everything really happened that you're talking about.
You know, I recommend Wingspan, though they blow their own horn and are like, you know, back to the egg, people will say that's a great album someday. Which no one, I guess one guy has.
Yeah, the one guy we mentioned on an earlier show said it was very underrated, but
But talks a lot about Linda, obviously. Mm-hmm. The Wings years were Linda focused, and when the Beatles broke up, Paul and Linda and their children went to a very remote part of the country and recorded McCartney, which was pretty much just Paul playing, and their relationship was sort of fresh and new, you know. So there's several songs on McCartney. Obviously, The Lovely Linda, which we heard already. Every Night, which is a really, really great touching song. But this might be not just the best song about Linda, but might be one of the best romantic songs about being passionately in love with someone ever.
Yeah, it's a classic. He still plays it all the time today, and it's one of his most famous songs, and we're talking about Maybe I'm Amazed. Maybe I'm Amazed from the album McCartney. And as I was listening to that, I was thinking, look, doing the math here, and math is not my strong suit, but I noticed, do you realize that they were married almost 30 years?
Wow.
Yeah, they were married from 1969, and then Linda passed away in 1998. So that's pretty incredible for a rock and roll marriage.
Yeah, no kidding. And it seems like they were... I want to say the same about Olivia Harrison and George Harrison.
Yeah, they were married a long time, too.
They were married a long time, too. And they actually, in the documentary about George Harrison, she says, like, oh, people ask me how to make a marriage last. It's like, and she said, well, don't get divorced.
That's a great line.
So,
nice.
But Lynn and Paul, by all accounts, were extremely happily married for that whole time. Paul, of course, wrote many, 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 many songs. We couldn't possibly play all the songs that he probably wrote about Linda. But one of his most, let's just say, one of his most popular chart-wise. Neither Dave nor I's favorite.
No.
McCartney song is a song from Paul McCartney and Wings called My Love.
And when I go away, I know my heart can stay with my love. It's understood. It's in the hands of my love. My love, does it go? Whoa, 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 whoa. still find something there with my love.
It's understood. Well, that was My Love from the album Red Rose Speedway.
And classic album.
Yeah, classic album there. It's, you know, I remember reading I had this book called The 50 Worst Rock and Roll Songs of All Time, or 50 Worst Rock and Roll Albums of All Time, or something like that. And it, they talked about, there was a separate section in that book that said Worst Rockers of All Time, and they put Paul McCartney in that category. There was like three people, and he was one of the three. And they said he lapsed into pillow soft tunes far too often for somebody who ought to know better. And I don't know about you, but you used a good word while we were listening to the song to describe this, that it's very languid. I think languid and pillow soft both seem to describe this song pretty well, don't you think?
I think so. I guess if you see it live, it's like, oh.
Or it's, oh, I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I need a beer.
Yeah, but they're real sappy. I mean, my love doesn't get as much flack as Silly Love Songs, which I think is a slightly better song, although stupid. but My Love is definitely really kind of a sappy. Yeah, sappy and languid.
Yeah.
Pillow soft for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and speaking of pillow soft, we move along to another song. This is from The Height of Wings, from their album Wings at the Speed of Sound, which I know you've got a copy of.
A not well worn copy, but a
mint condition copy.
Mint condition copy. It's in good shape as any of my Ringo albums, as Dark Horse, as Men Love Avenue.
Yes, Wings at the Speed of Sound, and there's a couple of songs from about Linda on this one, but the one that we're going to give you a taste of is called, and just the title alone should tell you something here, Warm and Beautiful.
I take back what I say about it being sappy. No, it's simplistic. Maybe not a terrible song.
No,
whatever. It's sort of a whatever kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it does sort of have that.
I'm sure it was great to have it. I mean, think about this. You're a lady, and you're married to a guy who writes songs for you all the time. It's kind of nice, right?
That is pretty sweet. Yeah.
Even if they're like, "She's my baby," or
or my
golden earth girl.
Yeah, the next one doesn't have a sappy title, but I don't know. It's a different kind of song. We're gonna jump ahead a few years here, so we're jumping quite a few years. Were there any in between that we wanted to mention?
Maybe We Got Married, which was, I think, on Flowers in the Dirt, which might have been like 1989,
right.
I think. That's a pretty good song. I
Yeah.
I really like that song. And there's another one on there which we mentioned on an earlier episode called Distractions, which is a really sweet tune, but very, very musically interesting.
Yeah. And so on Flaming Pie, which was from 97, it seems like it's kind of a return to Beatle themes. And that, you and I both like this album a lot, I think.
Yeah, I think this is one of his strongest albums in the latter portion of the 20th century, yes. For sure.
Yeah.
In the most recent 20 years, this is probably one of his better albums.
Yeah. And we're talking specifically about the song, which has been on a couple of live albums, and it's called Calico Skies.
It was written that I would love you from the moment I opened my eyes, and the morning when I first saw you gave me life under calico skies. I will hold you for as long as you like. I'll hold you for the rest of my life.
That was Calico Skies from 1997's Flaming Pie, and there was a pretty touching video on YouTube of McCartney playing that song, strangely by a fire outside. But then there's some clips that goes to him in the studio, and Linda sitting next to him while he's singing it. And it's pretty sad when you think about that Linda would be ill at that point, and she passed away about a year later. So,
yeah, died of breast cancer. So Linda McCartney passed away, and, for a couple of years, Paul was just single. And then he met a girl, former model and anti-landmines campaigner named Heather Mills.
Heather Mills.
Right.
Who,
they met in 2002. They had a child in 2003 together, Beatrice. And so things are going pretty well. Around that time, Paul decides to record an album. Album called Driving Rain,
which
one of our favorites.
One of our favorites. That goes along with the least played category.
I gotta say I listen to it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think musically it's not a terrible album. It's the lyrics on that album are the most mind-blowingly weird. Like, what kind of mindset he was in? I don't quite know.
I don't know.
This song is a good example of when it starts, you're like, oh man, this is good, catchy. So let's hear just a little bit of the first bit of it, and then we'll cut to the lyrics.
Yep.
So we'll play a little bit, like, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds of the first part of it. And so you can get a feel of, like, how catchy it is. And then we'll the lyrics
will part of it. And see what happens next.
Yes.
Myself a place, there I will stay for a year and a day until the cares of my life blow away. and I will dance to a runnable tune with the queen of my heart.
The lyrics that you get, or how do you describe the lyrics of this song?
Bizarre.
Weird.
Inane, maybe?
Yeah, what is it?
Inane.
Although I give him props for using the word runcible, because that's something, not a lot of pop songs have runcible in there, so I like that one in particular, but... It's clever. This is a pun, because when you hear the word runcible, it's usually paired with spoon. And a runcible spoon is a sharp-edged fork with three broad curved prongs. But in McCartney's lyric, he says, I'm going to, let's say, I will dance to a runcible tune instead of a runcible
sharp tune.
A sharp tune, you get it?
What is it with him? And this is the same album where he used Dickie Bird, which is like just an Englishy as can be of a yep. term.
A Dickie Bird.
Yeah. Not a Dickie Bird. This song, though, I don't want to steer too far from this song.
Yes.
Analysis of this thing. Because at the end of it, he rhymes tune with Like, come up with another lyric there, buddy.
Like swoon or
yeah,
June.
He gets runcible out, and then he's like, "Ah, I did it. Ah, I don't need to write the rest of the thing."
Nope.
You're right. So there's that, and then, as I'm sure everybody heard, the last lyric. So weird.
It's such so weird.
You know, how many times do you think he plays that live?
Zero. You know, I think I mentioned it before on an earlier episode, but I took this tour of Los Angeles, this Beatles tour of Los Angeles. I think that was when we were talking about Blue Jay Way. But yeah. Part of the trip, the lady who does the tour, she says, oh, we're going to go see Paul's house now. And so we go to Paul's house, which is gorgeous and actually quite exposed for who it is, but guess what street it's on?
Heather?
Yes. Street? I think it's Heather Lane or Heather Road.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was
weird.
Yeah. So he bought it for her, for the two of them to live there, because he just thought, oh, this is a perfect place for a house.
Well, as he predicted in the song, he says, for a year and a day. And I was like, what? And then I thought about it. I was like, well, yeah. Pretty much a year and a day later.
Like, pretty much. It's all
screw
over.
Screw this.
Yeah. For the record, Paul and Heather were involved from 2002 and then officially divorced in 2008. But they broke up. They separated in 2006. So it was barely 4 years.
Yeah, there's another couple songs, actually. I thought Heather was the only Heather song.
Mm-hmm.
But there are another couple songs about Heather, I guess. One was called Mr. Bellamy. There was one called Nothing Too Much.
From the Fireman album.
From the Fireman album, which is kind of a look back at the relationship breaking up or whatever.
Yeah.
But the one we're going to play is... called Writing to Vanity Fair.
And this is supposedly about the paparazzi going after Paul and Heather and how frustrated they were with that. You see the magazine Vanity Fair is in the title there. So here's a little of that.
my tongue. I never talk too much. I tried to be so strong. I did my best. I used the gentle touch. I've done it for so long. You put me down, but I can laugh it off and act like nothing's wrong. But why pretend? I think I've heard enough of your familiar song. I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'll try to take my mind off. Now that you don't need my help, I'll use the time to think about myself.
That was Writing to Vanity Fair from 2005's Chaos and Creation in the Backyard.
Yeah. Great album cover.
It does have a great cover. Yeah,
yeah, it's which an is old, old
a much improved cover from Driving Rain, which for me, that's one of the worst covers ever. I think it was taken with a cell phone. Like it's the hand, you know, Paul's hand in this yeah. fuzzy image. It's kind of aughty, you know, sort of like aught.
So many songs about rain on that album, too. It's
like, there are.
We'll do an album track by track. wait for the track by track dissection of Driving Rain, because that's going to be a classic.
Lots episode. Of rain. We should do, yeah, we'll have to do a show about weather songs. We could do Good Day Sunshine and Rain.
Yeah.
And Here Comes the Sun.
Rain, Driving Rain.
Driving Rain. Yeah, there's a lot of.
Rinse the Raindrops.
Yeah, Rinse the Raindrops. Teardrops. Yes. Oh yeah, you like that one. No.
Yeah, so that was it, and he broke up with Heather. We thought, oh, he's gonna fade into sad old man. It's gonna get some cats and just like get old, and Paul was like, no, I'm gonna find me a very beautiful woman and wed her this year. So the best, I have to say, you know, best to you, Paul and Nancy.
Well, the good thing about Nancy is she's independently wealthy, so we won't have that little scuffle with Heather and the money and all the gory details.
Long divorce proceedings or anything like that.
Yeah, so.
Besides, Paul's kind of getting up there in age, so. Ain't gonna be no divorce this time, I don't think. Though I talked to my dad a few weeks ago, and I gave him some ribbing because he's now in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and I said, yeah, you're in your 70s now. And he's like, 70's a new 40. So hopefully the same can be said for Paul.
Definitely. So we hope you've enjoyed this look through all the songs inspired by Paul McCartney's Lovely Ladies. Going back to Dot Roan, and followed by Jane Asher, Linda McCartney,
and
Lind, Heather Mills, and now Nancy Chevelle. So
Nance.
Yeah, I bet he calls her Nance. Yeah.
Nance. Dot. Yeah, Dot. Dot must have been weird.
Dot wouldn't have worked, no. But we hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back with you soon with another one.
What if it rained? We didn't care. She said that someday soon the sun was gonna shine. And she was right, this love of mine, my Valentine. As days and nights would pass me by, I tell myself that I was waiting for a sign. Then she appeared, a love so fine, my Valentine.